Alex has joined our staff team recently, been with us just over a month as our operations manager, and it's amazing that he can come and speak with us this morning. So I'll pray for him and hand over. Father, thank you so much for Alex, Lord. Thank you for his role here at St. Leonard's, his part in the church family, and thank you for the message you've given him to speak this morning. And we pray that our hearts would be attentive to what you're saying. Would you speak by your spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much, Ben. And if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you with you, chat with you, get to know you over the coming weeks, months, or years, or whatever that looks like. But come and chat to me after the service or during the week, or maybe if you join a team and I'm around, come and chat to me then as well. But I want to talk for a few moments today as we find ourselves carrying on our series called Practicing the Way. And part of our vision here at St. Leonard's is that we go together dependent on God. What does dependent on God look like in our lives? Sam said when we kicked us off, often we have the head knowledge, but how does that translate into our daily walk with Jesus? How does that look like to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, or as John Mark Comer puts it, an apprentice of Jesus? And Jesus has a simple message for us in Mark chapter 1. He says this, he says, "Come, follow me." And as I said, 2 weeks ago, Sam kicked us off in this series looking at prayer, and last week, Jack looked at solitude. And if you haven't listened to those talks, I would recommend going back, listening to them, as they form a part of how we want to develop and grow and walk as disciples of Jesus. And you can find those on our website. And today, I want to look at one of the oldest and most central practices of the historic church and as followers of Jesus. But also, it's probably one of the most neglected practices in the Western church. And that's the fun topic of fasting. I love to eat. Growing up, I had so many cakes in our household. It was incredible. My mum is an incredible baker. And there was always a Vicky sponge, some banana loaf, chocolate sponge, any kind of cake you could think, as long as it didn't contain nuts. So if you want to bake me a cake, make sure it doesn't have nuts in. But there was always cake of snack-sized bars, Mars bars, just so that me and my brother wouldn't scoff them. We had to go and ask my parents to eat them. And one of my favorite places to go is Italy. The food, oh, it's incredible. The pasta, the pizza, the freshness of it, the tiramisu, the coffee, what is there not to like? You see, I'm more comfortable with feasting than fasting. I didn't grow up going to church, and it wasn't until I was an adult when I came to know Jesus that I heard of this concept of fasting to do with spiritual things. And it was a new thing for me, and I hadn't even really considered it. And sometimes when we hear the word fasting, it kind of draws up maybe all kinds of images for us. You might think of it in the sport setting where boxers have to kind of lose weight to make sure they've reached their weight categories, or maybe around a social media detox or fasting Netflix or your phone in your life. Or you might think that sounds a little bit old-fashioned, a bit too intense, or for the really spiritual people to do. But we are called to be disciples of Jesus, which means we follow Jesus. And as we're looking through this way of this series of practicing the way, we are focusing around to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to live as he did. You see, we are called to follow Jesus and arrange our lifestyles and our practices around Jesus, so we are transformed from the inside out. And throughout the Bible, we see lots of different people fasting. We see Moses, when he received the Ten Commandments, fasted. Daniel, Samuel, Esther led a 3-day fast to even approach the king so she wouldn't be killed. The prophets, and Jesus himself fasted. He started his ministry with a 40-day fast in the word that comes from the mouth of God. Early Christians would have fasted twice a week, and it was just as central to their practices as prayer and worship. But today, most people feast but don't fast. And if fasting isn't part of your discipleship walk with Jesus, you're probably not alone. It's disappeared from our modern Western Christianity. And John Mark Comer puts it like this. He says, fasting is one of the most essential and powerful of all the practices of Jesus, and arguably the single most neglected in the modern Western church. St. Basil the Great, who was Bishop of Caesarea from about 330 to 379 AD, said this about fasting. Fasting gives birth to prophets. She strengthens the powerful. Fasting makes lawgivers wise. She is a safeguard for the soul, a steadfast companion for the body, a weapon for the brave and a discipline for champions. Fasting repels temptations, anoints for godliness. She is a companion for sobriety, the crafter of a sound mind. In war, she fights bravely. In peace, she teaches tranquility. You see, the life of Jesus, the scriptures, the voice of the global church, and the teaching of the church over the years all point towards saying that fasting is powerful and essential in our walk with Jesus. So what if we're missing out on one of the most important practices of Jesus? Turn to your Bible. There's some Bibles in the pillars as well. Or if you've got your phone out, let's turn to Matthew 6, verse 16. And what we're going to read, this is an excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount, which are a collection of Jesus' most important teachings. And here we find Jesus teaching about fasting. But before this, we read that Jesus is talking about prayer. And then after this, he talks about where you build your treasures in heaven. And I think that's kind of an interesting place to place fasting in the middle of those two things. So it says this. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When we read this passage, we immediately notice two things. It's not about if we fast. It's about when we fast. You see, Jesus' assumption is that followers of his and his disciples are people who fast. So the question is, why do we fast? And the other thing we read, we see that when we fast, we are rewarded. And it is in the practice of fasting that we find out what that reward is. And how we fast is important. I'll come to that at the end. And I'm putting a disclaimer out. I'm not going to know every answer to every question about fasting, especially in about the 10 minutes that we have together. But my hope and my prayer is that when you leave to place to, actually, I want to start doing this as a follower of Jesus. So why do we fast? Fasting at the core is a practice of offering our whole lives, our whole bodies to God. It kind of brings together this spiritual with the physical. It's almost a way of praying with our whole bodies. John Piper calls fasting whole body hungering for God. I love that, whole body hungering for God. What is hungering? Hungering is that feeling of wanting or needing something that you don't have or desire more of. And when you hunger for something, you want it. So what are we hungering for today? Individually, are we hungering for more of God in our lives? As a church, are we hungering to see God on the move in our families, our friendships, our community, where we live? And fasting is a way of saying, Lord, I want you. I desire for you. I hunger for you, God. I'm going to lay this part of my life down to worship you, to draw closer to you, to focus on you. Romans 12, verse 1, is a passage that's often quoted, and I'm sure a lot of us know it, and it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We are told to honor God with our whole bodies, not just our heart and our minds. It's our whole body. It's everything we do. And by thinking about fasting and these other practices that we're looking at, our goal is to anchor ourselves in God, Through the noise and through the chaos of the world around us, we come back to God again, the practices we are going to look at. And at mealtimes or every time we hunger, it gives us an opportunity to come back to God, to pray to him and to say, Jesus, I want to dwell with you. I want to abide with you. I want to make you my home. John 15 verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, we are all abiding in something. We are choosing to abide in something. When things are going well, when things aren't going well, when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're lonely, when we're bored, what are we choosing to abide in? And we all have that default setting that we turn to. And the question is, where? What is that thing we turn to? And this matters. Why? Because what we choose to abide in and what we choose to make our home in will determine the fruit of our lives. Maybe it's that doom scrolling on social media. Maybe for me, it's watching another YouTube video. Maybe it's another episode on Netflix. Maybe it's reading an extra 3 chapters in bed when you need to go to sleep. How are these things forming us? Are they making us distracted, anxious, addicted, bored, never present with the people around us? But what if we rooted ourselves in Jesus? Abiding in Jesus, in the inner life of God, and allow that to form us from the inside out. Well, we'll slowly see the fruits of the Spirit grow. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, writes, fasting reveals the things that controls us. And through fasting and these practices, we are choosing to form our lives around Jesus, to become people who are people of love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Practices like whole body, our whole selves, to the grace of God, to be transformed. We have to make ourselves available to God to be transformed. And fasting is one of those essential ways. And I tell you now, it's not going to be easy at first. You know, it's hard because we're essentially picking a fight with our flesh. But the more you do it and the more your flesh is weakened through self-denial and your spirit is strengthened through a connection to God, the more free you become. When that temptation is strong, when the hunger pains are there and you just want to eat that slice of cake, whatever it is, it gives you another chance to release control from you and give that control back to God to experience his grace again. You see, fasting draws us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. It allows us to transform us from the inside out, to overflow into the world around us. You're like, great, Alex, I get why we do it, but I'm still not sure really how I make that happen. Well, I would love it if these practices we talk about become a regular part of our discipleship and our walk with Jesus. So how do we incorporate fasting as a regular rhythm of our lives? Well, have you ever said to yourself, right, I'm going to be consistent in my Bible reading. I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock every morning to pray. I'm going to devote myself to that. I'm going to be a patient person. And you do these things for about a week, then they stop. And then you're back into those old habits and old routines. And it feels a bit demoralizing. It feels a bit embarrassing. And I often feel that sense of failure. It's that whole new year, new me, new resolution thing that you do for a week, then it's gone. Well, hopefully these tips that I'm going to go through will help us to avoid us doing that, because we want to make this a long-lasting commitment to Jesus, to Greg Groeschel. And he talks about these declarations that I just mentioned that we make about ourselves, and he talks about how we want to change and bring about that change. He says, there is a reason as to why we do these things. But if we target the behavior individually, then we're going after the wrong thing. If you try to change the behavior without changing our identity, it's like pulling up weeds and leaving the root behind. It says, before you change the do, you must change the who. It says, to change what you do, you need to first change what you think of you. Because what you think of you drives that behavior. And I think this is where the enemy likes to get in. The enemy likes to say to you things, you don't have what it takes to be that person. You don't have those kind of things you can do. That's not you, is it? But here is the good news. You are not who the enemy, who Satan says you are. You are who God says you are. And I think people need to hear that again. You are who God says you are. You are loved. You are a son or daughter of the Most High. You are chosen. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are sought after. And the list goes on and on. That is who you are. And it's out of that place of knowing who we are that helps to drive the change. He says, you change by God-empowered spiritual transformation, which happens when you embrace your true God-given identity. So when we think, okay, I want to start fasting, start with the who. Because I am a loved son or daughter of God, I want to experience more of you in my life, Jesus, and grow in the outworking of the fruits of the Spirit to those around me. And that's why I choose to fast. John Mark Comer, as we look at this series called Practicing the Way, he has so many more resources to go away and read about each of these small. Start where you are, not where you should be. Again, it comes back to that why, but back to the who, not do. And it feels a bit counterintuitive starting small, I think, but you have a better chance of really sticking to it. So don't think, okay, I'm going to do this 3 times a week for 3 days a week. Actually, that would mean you'd be doing it every single day. Start small. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it in Mere Christianity. He says this, good and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which a few months later you may be able to go on to victories you never dreamed of. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point. And I feel that's fasting. That small act of fasting is that strategic capture. So start small. Pick a day that works for you. Fast until sunset that day. And then eat a simple meal in gratitude afterwards. Or maybe if a full day is too much for you, skip breakfast and then have lunch and then carry on till sunset again. Remember, the goal is to make fasting a part of our regular lives. It's not to try it once or twice and then hate it and never try it again. And then in the time when you would normally be cooking and prepping or washing up, use that as a time of prayer. And those times where you feel hungry and you start to get hangry, remember Romans 12. God, I offer my body to you in worship. Transform me. But I'm also aware that for some people, there might be medical issues and other concerns that keep them from fasting. And if this is you, please check with doctors, check with therapists, check with people who you know and love to make sure before participating in this practice, listen to your body. The more fully you give yourself over to this practice, the more life-changing it will be. If you just dabble in it, take a few shortcuts and go, oh, actually, I'll just have this little biscuit, the less of an effect it will have on your transformation. It's up to you. The third thing he says is remember the J curve. There's this thing in building skills and habits. It's called the J curve. And before it gets better, it would often get worse. But then it will then grow and grow and grow and get better. So remember, actually, if it is tough, it will get better. Remember the J curve. And the final is there is no formation without repetition. Spiritual formation. It's slow, it's deep, it's work that's built up over time, which feels hard in our culture where we want things at the click of a finger. We want things on instant delivery. But spiritual formation is a deep, long work. So we are hoping that you and I, that we get started on this journey for a lifetime. And as we come to finish, we read in the passage about be seeing by our Father. It says, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what is that ultimate reward? It's Jesus himself. There is no greater reward than drawing closer and closer to Jesus. In Romans 12 verse 1 it says, in view of God's mercy. We fast for him because he has done everything for us. We give up food because he gave up everything. We give up our bodies as a living sacrifice to him as devotion and worship because he already gave up his body for us on the cross for our salvation. So we fast not to get something from Jesus, but for our devotion, but for worship and love for him. It says in scriptures, come near to God and he will come near to you. Tell us one simple thing. Come and follow me. And by accepting that invitation, we are saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple, or I want to be your apprentice. I want to abide in you with my whole life. We are saying that we want to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to live as he did. And I don't know about you, but the times when I have fasted, I felt so close to God. Every time I feel closer and closer to Jesus. So when we fast, not if we fast, we get to see the Father's promised reward, and that's Christ himself, the one who loves you more than you could ever imagine. Let's pray. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and if you're willing and able, let's stand together and we'll spend some time praying. And as I was preparing, there are a few prayer points and that I think we can pray into for people. And what that will look like in a minute is I'll invite the prayer team forward, and as they come forward, they will want to pray with you. And then if you feel comfortable, you'll come forward and ask for prayer. And all they'll do is simply lay a hand on you. They'll ask to do that first, and they'll just pray for you. But the things that's kind of, I think, the Lord is encouraging to pray is, the first one is around, come and follow me. And I think it's time for someone feels like, actually, I want to take that seriously now. I've been coasting along. Actually, this is time for me now to take this walk with Jesus seriously. The second thing is around that, to believe that you are who, that you are redeemed, that you are a son or daughter of Jesus. And I think someone or some people might be battling the image that they see of themselves. But it's that who piece. Who does God say you are? And the third thing is, it is around, actually, I've never tried fasting, and I want to give this a go for the first time, and we'd love to pray for you. So if the prayer team want to come forward, and as the rest of us, as we sing, as we are led in worship, if you want prayer, come forward, and these lovely people would love to pray for you. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you call us to a deeper relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that you draw near to us as we draw near to you. Lord, that you are the ultimate reward for us. Your love and your cross and your salvation, Jesus, we thank you so much. Lord, we'll fully never understand the depths of what that means, Jesus. But Lord, would you reveal what we can handle, Lord. So Lord, transform us from the inside out as we take up these practices, as we walk to deepen our relationship with you. Lord, would we know your grace and your love and the names that you call us, Jesus, son and daughter, child of God. Lord, thank you that you call us home, that you died on the cross for us, Lord. We thank you so much. So if you want prayer for anything, please do come forward and we'd love to pray with you. And the rest of us, we are just going to continue to worship.